News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Listen, we're going to go right back to the phones. I got a caller here from Leanne. By the way, Copper, I've got a note for you on the board, so just check that out. But let me grab line one, Leanne from Huntsville. Hey, Leanne, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Hi, Phil. Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. What's on your mind?
My question to you today is maybe you can elaborate on or have more information about Senator Josh Hawley. I believe he was going to bring up Judge Jackson's defense of the Guantanamo Bay terrorists. Those hearings were critical, and I just wanted to try to understand why she has taken that position. Was she appointed or did she do it by choice?
And that's a question that I don't know, but I tell you what I'll do, Leanne. I will start doing some quick searching on that. I do know that Josh Hawley also called into question her rulings on some pedophile convictions where she was a judge, and she literally sentenced them lighter than what the sentencing guidelines called for. So it was not just the Gitmo issue, but it was also a question of whether or not she was being too light on what we consider to be pretty serious offenses.
Absolutely, these Gitmo detainees, they do for someone to pro bono choice defend them, I think that speaks that she's maybe not on our side.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. She was considered a federal defender in the defense of, I'm trying to think who her clients were right here, these Gitmo terrorists. Tell you what, Leanne, I don't have an answer for you. I'll not try to make it up as I go along. Let me just take a look at it, and I'll see if I can figure out whether she was doing that pro bono or whether she was assigned like a court-appointed attorney, which I would suspect that she was probably court-appointed and didn't just volunteer for it. But we'll find out. And I'll announce it on air as soon as I can figure that piece out, okay?
Thank you, Phil.
Hey, and
God
Leanne,
bless.
Hey, and Leanne, I got to ask you, wasn't it you that called in about 2 weeks ago and suggested that all the Right Side Ruffians take a minute before the show starts to pray for the folks in
Absolutely.
Ukraine?
Absolutely. Two minutes
yes.
In, I start praying, Phil. I have ceased to miss a day, and I'm imploring everybody out there to just do the same. 2 minutes of prayer right before we hit our good news source of the day.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want you to know that I set an alarm on my phone. It goes off at 2 minutes before the show every time, and I've been joining you in that. And so thank you for prodding us in that regard. We appreciate it very much.
And God will answer. Thank you, Phil.
I agree. Thanks, Leanne. Appreciate the call. Yeah, listen, Copper, let me know when you've got clip one ready to go too. I want to jump on. You ready with that? Okay, let's do this. So we've been talking about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Well, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Dr. Carol Swain. Dr. Carol Swain is the president of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, a lot like the Alabama Policy Institute that I'm also a part of. But Dr. Carol Swain had some thoughts about Republicans really should be calling out the whole selection process for her, starting with the fact that, it was her skin color and her gender that made the difference in her selection process. It wasn't her level of judicial acumen or knowledge of the law or her ability to sit on the bench and be very judicious in the manner in which she ruled. No, it started with, was she a black female? That was the starting point. Now, what's interesting in that is, as Dr. Carol Swain gives us a conservative view on this, please understand, Dr. Carol Swain is herself a black female. So, Copper, let's play clip one.
It is expected to be confirmed. I mean, all indications are that she will be the next Supreme Court justice. How should Republicans play this, in your estimation? Should they go on this charm offensive that you've heard some people calling for to contradict how the Dems treated Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, or should they go after her aggressively to point out all the faults that you view as faults that you're pointing out for us now?
The Republicans should stand on the Constitution and the civil rights laws, and they should have screamed louder when Joe Biden chose a racist process that violated our civil rights laws by confining the potential nominees to one group, black women. That in itself was racist. It ran counter to the non-discrimination purpose of the Civil Rights Act, the Equal Protection Clause. And so I think Republicans should stand on principle. They should not allow themselves to be charmed because their decision will impact every American. I'm also concerned about Judge Brown's position on critical race theory. And there's every evidence that she believes that America is a systemically racist country, that our Constitution was put together by racists. And I think that they should be standing on principles and, again, not allowing themselves to be charmed.
We will see.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. She's encouraging Republican senators to basically make hay over this. Don't just sit there and be charmed. And that's what's, you know, that's what we run the risk of is they sit there and go, well, she came across so nice. Well, okay, she came across so nice. Is she the best qualified for the job should be all that we're concerned about. And is she the best qualified and will she be judicious in the manner in which she approaches things and will she be a conservative jurist? And when I say conservative, I don't mean true conservative like, you know, you and I in terms of how we stand on issues of taxes and limited government. I'm saying, will she be conservative in her view of the Constitution? And will she rule judiciously based upon the law and the facts and not upon her own subjective opinions? Well, that's that. Now, listen, I am checking into right now what Leanne from Huntsville called in about a moment ago. Because, yes, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, when she was working for the Federal Defender's Office in Washington, D.C., that was the sole venue for trying the cases of the detainees in Guantanamo Bay. I do find on here where she was questioned before she took the position of a federal district court judge. She was questioned as to whether or not she had ever considered stepping back from that that defense. And she chose not to address it because she said that she felt like under the rules of ethics governing attorneys and the zealous defense of their attorney's positions, that she could not now step back and talk about how whether or not she even disliked her client's position. She doesn't say that I can find in her response whether or not she had an opportunity not to take the job. As a federal public defender, that means she was likely assigned, but at the same time, I question whether or not she had to. In fact, apparently at the same time, her brother was a U.S. Army infantryman on duty in Iraq, and she took this position anyway. I'll do some more checking on this, see if I can figure out whether or not she had a chance to step back from that. I got some callers, and I got a couple minutes here for the next break, so let me grab those real quick. I'll take line three, Chris from Lauderdale. Hey, Chris, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Two things. Is Biden subject to impeachment because he violated government standards of both racial and sexism in making a choice? I mean, you can't do that anywhere else in the government, can you?
Not that I'm aware of, unless there's an affirmative action law in place at a state level, but I'm not aware of an affirmative action for nominations to the Supreme Court. Now, he's allowed to have his pick, but you're right. I mean, the very idea that he came out there with a race-based pick, I mean, somebody ought to challenge it, but you know who the challenge would be? To the Supreme Court. So
it would be a race-based and a sex-based.
Yes, yes. I mean, it violates everything that... If it were just the opposite, if it was, I will only choose a white male, that would not have gone over very well. But you had point number two. What was your other point, Chris?
That was my whole point, race
okay.
and sex.
All right, man. Appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. Line four, Spike from Huntsville. Hey, Spike, Phil Williams, man. How you doing?
Hey, Phil, this is Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. It said Spike on my board. I apologize. What's on your mind?
What's going on is that not only is it a type 7 violation, but it also, she's a rabid division using the Second Amendment goodbye, she gets court. that's a pretty significant thing. If you look at all the things that are written about her regarding the Second Amendment, all the anti-gun are absolutely cheering about her nomination and how it's being used as a racist issue to which to get her through and slide it through because everybody's worried about doing anything about his pick regarding the both racist and gender bigotry.
Wow. Sorry. So, your phone broke up a little bit, Mike. But you're telling me that you're of the mind or of the belief that she is a anti-Second Amendment judge. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at all her opinions, she's never been for the Second Amendment. She's in the D.C. Circuit, and that is where the Heller v. case came out of. Now, she wasn't on that case at the time, but that whole circuit is completely anti-individual ownership of firearms.
Well, that's a great point. All right. More to come on this. She's in confirmation hearings right now that are going to last through at least Thursday. Mike, thanks for the call, and appreciate you being in the audience. So, yeah, more to come on this, folks. We're going to see how this pans out. But this is a big, hairy deal. As big as it was for us to be able to get Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett on the court, is just as big right now that liberals are trying to get their nominee on the court. And I hope that Republicans don't just like Dr. Carol Swain from the Texas Public Policy Foundation said a moment ago, I hope they just don't get charmed. I hope they actually grill her hard. And I'm not talking about treating her with disrespect, and I'm not talking about treating her the way liberals treat our candidates. I'm just saying don't let her get by without giving real answers on real things that she has done. And then I would say vote no. I would hope that conservative senators are going to step up and say, no, we have a 50-50 split. It's going to be hard for them to get their person on the court unless Republicans jump over and give it to them, because this is solely in the hands of the Senate for confirmation. Confirmations don't go to the House. Confirmations remain a sole function of the Senate. We did confirmations in the state Senate when I was there. They do confirmations in the U.S. Senate. That is their role. And right now, with a 50-50 split, I say make them work for it. I'd say go ahead and listen to her, take all of her questions, recognize that, sure, the president can nominate, but it is the job of the Senate to confirm or not to confirm. My hope is they don't confirm. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We just spent a good bit of time there in the Right Side Law Review. I'm not sure we're going to get on the next topic right away. I've got a few more pieces of that, and I might as well go ahead and do those after the break. We'll come back, wrap up a few more legals that are out there that you might want to know about, and then coming up top of the hour, Congressman Mo Brooks calling in. You know, he just said he would challenge Mitch McConnell for leadership. That's awesome. We'll talk to him when he gets back. You hang tight. We'll be right on. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:54 p.m. We are moving through this show. It feels like lightning quick. Coming up at the top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because our Congressman Mo Brooks will be with us. And I intend to ask him right out the gate about the fact that he has just said in the media here in the last 24 hours that if elected, he intends to challenge Mitch McConnell for leadership. Now, that would be something. I would like that personally. But yeah. Hey, listen, by the way, that kind of news that I just quoted there, that story, I believe, was on 1819 News. And you hear me talking about resourcing the show every day. I mean, I literally get up early in the morning, and after spending a little time talking to God and having a cup of coffee, I am neck deep in the show before I even hit the road. So yeah, I'll do an hour and a half of resourcing the show. And one of the sources that I go to on a regular basis now is 1819 News. That's 1819news.com, named after the year that Alabama became a state. 1819 News, I know all the guys over there that are in charge of it. I know most of the reporters. They've got a huge staff. They got a great stable of editorial writers, of which Copper and I are one. But I'll just tell you, They're a news source that really is determined to get away from all the biases on other news sites and just give you straight up reporting. Like they don't do anything but call balls and strikes. They're also conservative. I know these folks. They are conservatives, but they're not going at it and saying, we're only going to give you our views. No, they're actually reporting news. In the process, though, one of the things I really like about 1819, I mean, the president of 1819, Brian Dawson, he flat out says, we're also going to make you proud to be an Alabamian. And that's, you know, exactly like what this show tries to do. I love living here. You can't talk me out of my love for this state. Well, 1819 News is just filled up with people who report that way also. So you're going to get the news, the straight skinny on the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're also going to get the stories you don't hear anywhere else about what a great state we live in. And I love that. So yeah, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. Hey, sort of wrapping up a little bit here on the Right Side Law Review. Man, this has been a long segment. I did not know it would last this long, but I guess I've got plenty of resources and good calls. Story off of Boston.com. Phil, did you go to Boston.com? I went to Boston. That's the kind of research we do on Right Side Radio. Boston.com. A liberal rag, by the way. And they talk about the fact that there are COVID lawsuits still going on, and they call them anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaxxers want $6 million each for alleged harm caused by Boston's indoor vaccine mandate. Well, here's the deal. Let me give you the unvarnished opinion. The Right Side Law Review says, okay, 16 people up in Boston have filed a lawsuit in federal court, and they're literally asking for $6 million each in damages from the city of Boston. So what you're seeing here, take that into account, a lawsuit against the city of Boston. Matt Clark talking about his lawsuit against Governor Ivey and the state health officer, Scott Harris. This is what we knew was going to happen. These overreaches that are occurring during the pandemic, or that were occurring during the pandemic, and some of which still are, that literally damaged people's lives, destroyed businesses, and got way beyond the pale when it comes to constitutional liberties. It's bouncing back now, and you're starting to see the fight in the court system. And at some point, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to deal with some of this. Well, there's an amended complaint filed. They're claiming things like humiliation, anxiety, embarrassment, mental anguish because they were denied service or barred entry to places like restaurants, gyms, museums. Some of them lost their jobs, and they allege that the Boston Public Health Commission acted unconstitutionally. All right, that's going on right now. Another one you need to know is this. FoxNews.com reporting that 15 states, I believe one of which is Alabama, led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, storyline just a couple weeks ago, is suing the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, over new oil and gas rules. You know, they just can't help themselves. It's not enough that we have executive orders. We got to also have regulatory burdens. Well, they're blasting President Biden on his war on against fossil fuels. And they're literally saying, at a time when we need energy independence, that they are making it far more impossible to do so. That the new rules are going to crush the gas and oil producing states. Well, that case is underway even as we speak. Lastly, I'll just point out to you, there's plenty going on with religious liberties. New case right now reported by Reuters out in Seattle. A church decided not to hire an attorney because of his openly gay lifestyle. Well, he sued, but it says also, too, that he took the job or applied for the job in order to file the protest. So, yeah, he was an activist looking for an opportunity. That case, not taken up by the Supreme Court. We'll see how it unfolds, and we'll watch it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up next, Congressman Mo Brooks. Y'all stay tuned.